Hello and welcome to the Common Man Podcast. My guest today is Patrick Tromley. Thank you for joining me today, Patrick.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Yeah. Let's get started. You know, tell me about yourself. Tell me about your background.
Sure. So let's wind it all the way back. So I come from the mortgage and real estate industry. I was in that industry for almost 25 years. I started when I was 14, did some shipping and insuring, carrying heavy boxes around because I was the young, strong kid. And worked on and off through high school and college. And then when I graduated college in 2006, I went into a sales position. And that was, like I said, 2006. I went into sales working for Washington Mutual. Had a great year that year. 2007, made six figures. Thought I was the man. You know, first full year out of college, making six figures, living high on the hog. And then 2008 happened. And I don't know if you remember that, but the whole mortgage meltdown kind of screwed me big time. So Washington Mutual got shut down. I was left scrambling, had to find another company or another bank to go work for. And then I landed at what was called Home Savings of America. And I was there for about another 18-ish months or so. Was able to rebuild my business back to a top producer again, ended up running the top producing region. And then the feds came into that bank as well and kicked the doors down and shut us down. So I was left scrambling again, bounced around for a couple different banks, and then landed at another bank and again was able to rebuild my business back to top producer, top producing regional manager. But it wasn't doing it for me. It felt like something was missing. I wanted to be more helpful, more direct to people. And so I started working direct with consumers because prior to that, I was working with the mortgage brokers. So I went into the retail side to work with them directly. Was not able to reach the level of success that I had had in the wholesale division. So I started looking for ways to augment or supplement my income. And so I got into the real estate investing side of things. So going through that, did some deals, hired a mentor. He helped me get a little bit better. But at the end of the day, I was still just chasing the bag and it was still unfulfilling. And so I really started to get into the personal development space and figure out what my purpose was, how I could be better. And by going through that process, I got connected with my next mentor. And he helped me realize that I needed to stop going after that deal, stop trying to find that next check, and really listen to my conscience. And that was an epiphany for me. That was a big game changer because as soon as I started listening to my conscience, I realized that I was just going after money. It was just about that dollar. And by listening to my conscience, I realized that my conscience, all of our conscience, is the voice of God talking to us directly. And I started listening to it and doing what it was telling me to do. You know, work on yourself, get better, get healthier, build a stronger mindset, be a better husband, be a better dad. And so I've been going through that process now for about 18 or so months. And it's been life-changing for me. I went from chasing that dollar. I was soft and squishy. I put my needs ahead of my family's needs. And I wasn't a bad husband or a bad dad, but I wasn't as good as I should have been or could have been. And so over this last 18 months or so, I've really dove into that and worked as hard as I can to get 1% better day after day. And that latest mentor really helped me realize that it is about being the best you can be and really creating your ideal individual, your ideal person, and giving that person back to your world. And so now that's what I do. I work on myself every single day so that I can be the best version because that's what my family deserves. And having gone through this process of real self-discovery and self-development, understanding and seeing the effects, the direct effects it has on my family, I feel obligated to help others do the same now. So I push myself and my clients to really get better every day, right? Put your family's needs ahead of your own. Purpose over pleasure. And our purpose is to create that best version of us and then serve our family that way. So that's how I've gotten here through the process of really trying to build my mindset up.
Yeah.
I got stronger physically. I'm in the best shape I've ever been in. And it's really, you know, I like to say that your external appearance is a reflection of your internal state. So the more and more I dialed in my mindset, the leaner I got, the stronger I got, and the better physique I got. And right now I'm between 7% and 8% body fat, 205 pounds, strongest that I've ever been, best shape I've ever been. But more importantly, I'm the best husband I've ever been, and I'm the best dad that I've ever been. Mm. And that to me is priceless. So that's really my motivating factor is because I've seen my changes, the impact my changes had on my family, I can see myself in other guys and in other families, and I really want them to go through the same process so that they can have that same kind of positive effect on their families.
Wow. That's so good. It's such a great story that you have. And I feel like a lot of individuals can relate to, you know, going through something similar. And I like what you said. You said your external appearance is basically a reflection of your what's going on inside of you, right? To the effect of that. And that's really exactly. important for people to pick up on. I want to take it back a little bit to a little bit of your beginning. I'm 29, so I didn't really go through the 2008 crisis.
2008.
I was like in middle school when that was happening. So I knew something was happening. I just didn't understand what was happening. I remember my parents talking about foreclosures, you know, people, yep. I see a lot of foreclosure signs out on the lawns and things like that. And I just had no idea what was going on. I didn't understand it until I got into the banking industry myself. So that's why I can relate to your story a little bit. But can you tell me what was your mindset in that situation? What was going on? And, you know, how did you feel?
Initially, I was concerned, right? I had in my head, I was going to stay essentially at Washington Mutual for my career because my mom was in the industry, which is how I got into it. And she'd had a long, successful career, and I saw myself doing something very similar. So it felt like a punch to the gut, really, like, oh, okay, this isn't what I expected to happen. And then having, you know, my mom still be in the industry, she had never seen anything like that as well. My boss at the time, I think he'd been in the industry for 25, 30 years as well. So I had these two experienced veterans in the industry saying, this is unprecedented. We've never seen anything like this before. So it was very, very concerning time. And then when I went to that second bank, Home Savings of America, and that got shut down, that next year after that, I only made $35,000. And I had to rely at the time on my fiance. So I went from making good six figures to $35,000 like that. And as a man, you know, thinking you're this big badass, it's, you know, I'm running shit. I'm doing all this stuff. That was like a kick to the nuts and really a big serving of humble pie where I had to really rely on my fiance at the time to provide for us. And one of the main things that I believe in is it's the man's role to provide, protect, and preside. So I wasn't able to do one of those main things. And it was a very humbling experience, really made me appreciate my wife even more than I already did at the time, that she didn't bounce. She didn't take off and say, well, this guy's broke now. He's not what we were yeah. at the start of our relationship. So it was definitely a big kind of like a piece of humble pie. It was almost the whole damn pie, to be honest. And my face was shoved into it. So it rocked my world, to say the least.
Yeah. And what was it like being a part of those banks that ended up closing? And how did it feel like having to kind of build your reputation back up as a top performer? You know, what was that like?
It was rough. It was rough. You know, I mean, especially coming straight out of college and instantly having success and instantly making money. I didn't have that struggle initially of really trying to create business and build a book of business. So I went, you know, about 6 months or so from the time Washington Mutual shut down till we went over to Home Savings of America before my business picked up again. And luckily I had established some relationships. So my clients from Washington Mutual came with me to Home Savings. But at that time, Home Savings wasn't a real big wholesale operation. So we really had to build that division up from the ground, set in procedures, policies, workflows, all that kind of stuff. And so there were some growing pains there because it takes time for any kind of corporation to change, to add new stuff, especially with the big influx of new employees. It was a trying time. And luckily, I did have some relationships that came with me, so I was able to generate business from them. But essentially, it was like starting out brand new again. And it was mm-hmm. brand new from the ground. Washington Mutual was already an operating company, had a wholesale division. I just kind of plugged into there and took off running. Home Savings of America was the exact opposite. We had to build it up, like I said, set everything into place in order to be able to just do the basic function of bringing business into the company. So I was up for the challenge because at that time I was 23, 24. So I was still young and ready to, you know, attack the world, take over the world. But it was trying, you know, it was something that, again, nobody that I knew in the industry had ever seen before. So it definitely tested your will to survive. And
yeah,
at that time, you know, you don't have many responsibilities. So it's like, okay, I can mess with this. I can go after this. Had it been now in my situation now where I'm married and I have three boys, it would be a significantly different level of stress, right? Mm. Because I have four lives that depend on me to provide for them. At the time, my fiance had her own job. She was making good money. I was just kind of a mooch there for a little bit from her, and she was helping support and really carry us through that.
Wow, man, that's important. How do you feel like relationship building was during that time? And how do you, you know, looking back in that time, how do you feel the networking that you've done, you know, how important was that for you?
It was pretty big. I mean, a lot of the people from Washington Mutual were able to go over to Home Savings. So it was at least internally, we had those established relationships, but going out and trying to generate new business from a new company that nobody had really heard of, except for the old school Home Savings that went down in the savings and loan scandal back in the late 80s, you're rebranding and you have to get people to trust you again. Even the relationships I was able to bring over, they were shy and timid at first of working with this brand new company, this brand new operation. And it took some coaxing, it took some convincing to get them to work with us again, but it ended up working out, right? It's that consistent, essentially pounding on them, hey, give me a shot, we're good to go, we're ready, you know, yeah, who you're working with, you've worked with us before, it's just a new name on the card or a new logo on the card. And so that's really what kind of started the flow of business back in. And then once we started getting production in, we were able to solidify our systems and our business operations, which allowed us to generate more and more business.
Our listeners here at the Common Man Podcast, we have a lot of 17 to 34-year-olds, you know, listening in. You know, what advice would you give, you know, to someone, maybe they don't have a family, or maybe they do, coming out of college, or maybe don't even go to college, they go straight into the industry and trying to figure things out. Sure. Like, you know, being, you know, where you are now and what you've seen, you know, what advice could you give?
The biggest piece of advice I would say is listen to your conscience. Listen to it and then align your thoughts, your habits, and your energy with what it's telling you to do. That for me took me from really just, like I said earlier, chasing that dollar and being in the real estate industry, being in the lending industry, that's insatiable appetite. It doesn't matter that you just closed a $2 million loan. Where's that next deal coming from? And so it's constant stress, and it can wear on you. Listening to your conscience gives you that inner peace that I know as a young man, we're not necessarily looking for that inner peace yet. We're not even aware of that. I sure as hell wasn't.
Yeah.
But when you find it and you feel it, you get this kind of aha, eureka moment, like this is what I'm supposed to do. And then you really don't miss from that because you know this is what your conscience is telling you to do. And if you believe in God, that's what God's plan is for you. And if you're doing what God has planned for you, some will call it the universe, whatever your belief system is. But if you're in alignment with your purpose, you attract positivity, you attract success, you attract the results that you want because you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Your energy is aligned with it, your thoughts, your habits, everything you do is aligned with your purpose. And since you're in alignment, you bring the good and that success to you. So I would say listen to your conscience and act accordingly. Don't brush it off. Don't say, you know what I mean? It's not, oh, it's just some gut feeling. No, that's your conscience talking to you. That's our creator talking to you, telling you, this is what I want you to do. This is my plan for your life. And if you align with it, you're going to get the blessings that he has planned for you or the universe, like I said, if that's your thing.
Yeah. That's I was going to ask is, you know, what was that aha moment like for you? You know, what did it feel like? Did you want to, you know, go for a run? Were you, you know, was it emotional? Like, you know, what was that like? And then also, how does someone discern the difference between your conscience and then something, you know, maybe that inner voice is just constantly rambling or saying, you know, maybe you're not good enough, or, you know, you look this, you look that, and, you know, stuff like that.
Sure. So the way it worked for me was I wanted to get healthy. I wanted to get fit. And so I started going through that process. I started building the base layer of discipline, which is what you put in your mouth, right? So you can control that by controlling what you're eating and the energy you're expending by training or whatever you choose to do in terms of physical activity. you start to become, I guess, more sensitive to things, right? You start to become more self-aware. And the more you do this, you keep pressing into that, you keep pushing into that kind of uncomfortable area, you start to feel different things. And it's kind of hard to explain, but I was seeing, because of the work I was putting in on myself and trying to become better for my family and better for myself, I was seeing that energy that I was creating within myself have a direct positive effect on my family. My kids were behaving better. We were getting closer. My wife and I, we've always had a great relationship, but we were getting closer. You could just feel the energy changing, the energy shifting. And the more I dove down and pushed into that, the better I was feeling, the more, really, it's like an inner peace. You feel, I keep going here, like in my chest, but you feel like this is right. This is where I'm supposed to be. And as soon as you start to catch that feeling, I just doubled down and I went hard after that. And really, everybody's base purpose, some may have a higher calling than that, but the base purpose is to create that best version of you and then give that person to the world. So we have to start with self. Everything starts with self. Belief, trust, confidence. You have to have that in yourself before you can see that in other people, because the world isn't a window, it's a mirror. So if you have trust issues with people, if you have, that's the best example. If you have trust issues with people, chances are you don't trust yourself. And if you start to go inward and look at, you know, where do you feel you're weak? Where do you feel you're not as strong as you could be? And you work on those areas, you start to build that self-confidence, you start to build that trust, and then you start to see the good side of people. You start to attract the better people, the trustworthy people, the ones that are going to help you. It's all about really dialing in yourself, because once you become self-aware and you really self-actualize, I guess is the term they use, when you start to become that best version of you, you're raising your frequency, your vibration, your consciousness frequency. And because you escalate that and elevate that, you attract a higher frequency individual, others that come into your life. Like I said earlier, success, you attract it. And it all starts with understanding what you're feeling in your chest, in your heart. And I think the biggest thing is really to start working on yourself, get healthy, challenge yourself, attack the hard path, do the stuff that makes you uncomfortable, because through there is where you get your personal growth. Like, I started posting on social media. I wasn't a real big social media guy. And then I started going through this program with my mentor, and I've posted every single day, multiple times a day for over a year and a half or so now. And before then, I never would post. I would just throw up random stories and that kind of stuff. So it was extremely uncomfortable for me to hold up my phone and start recording videos and talk to people. But having done that, I have no issue doing that anymore. But I get such positive feedback because people are looking for individuals that are willing to take that risk and willing to put themselves out there. So if you can do that and go through that uncomfortable area, you're going to reach growth. And that's how I'm tying that back, is it caused me to grow into a more confident, I have more trust in myself now. And it's because I went through that hard stuff. I did the stuff that I didn't want to do. Another example is I get up early as hell. I get up at 3:30 every morning, and that's not fun anytime. But I do that because it gives me enough time to develop myself in the morning before my responsibilities to my family kick in. So by doing that, following a nutrition plan, following training, having that set morning routine, it causes me to be better. And for me, that's the whole goal, is 1% better than the day before. And really, that's by going into that unknown, that uncertain place of the kind of scary stuff. If it scares you, that's really where you should go as hard as you can at it. Because no matter what, you'll make it through it. You will. Mm-hmm. I promise. People get scared, like, oh, I'm going to fail. Oh, well, you only fail if you quit, right? So if you can extract a lesson or you win, then you're going to keep compounding that momentum and pushing forward. So as long as we can keep going, you're going to get to where you want to be. You're going to be able to achieve that goal. You're going to be able to create that best version of you and give that guide to your family. Or it doesn't necessarily have to be family, because you mentioned that earlier. It could be your friends. It could be your employees. It could be whatever is in your tribe. You need to create the best version of you because you owe that to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so important. I like what you said before is, you know, life is not a window, it's a mirror. And that's so important.
Absolutely.
And you seem so self-aware. Like, where does that come from? Like, were you always like this?
No, I wasn't. That's the thing. And this is within the last 18 months or so is daily. I work on myself. I've really adopted a lot of stoicism. I'm not a stoic by any means, but I like a lot of the kind of mindset teachings and preachings that they have. If, you know, focus on what you can control. The only thing you can control is you. So I work on controlling myself. My goal is to become, like I like to say for my family, I like to be the lighthouse for my family. Mm. So no matter the storm that's going on around me, shit's going nuts, I'm always there shining my light, right? They can count on me to be that emotional rock. So being a master of your emotions allows you to be that kind of guy, that kind of individual for everybody around you. Yeah. Within the last 6 months or so, maybe eight now, my wife, who's 44, randomly came down with epilepsy. Mm. One day as I was getting up out of bed, I heard her making weird noises and didn't know what it was. Ended up going over to her. She was having a full seizure. I was picking her up in my arms. I thought she was dying, like legitimately thought she was dying. This had never happened before. Didn't know what the hell was going on. Mm. And then she came out of it, luckily, right? And we went almost a little over 3 months, never having any kind of issue again. And then she had, from the day before Thanksgiving through the second week of December, she had five more seizures and a concussion. So she had a seizure the day before Thanksgiving in the shower. Then the following week, she had a seizure where she fell, hit her head, gave herself a concussion, and then had another seizure that day, later that day. And then the following week had two more. So if this had happened, you know, 18 months, 24 months ago, I would have lost my shit. Mm-hmm. I would have been a wreck. My kids would have been like, oh my God, what's going on? But because I've gone through this process of really trying to create that best version of me, that's an emotional rock that puts his family needs ahead of his own, I was able to do that at that time. And like I said, had this happened before, I would have been a wreck. My kids would have been stressed out even more so than they already were. But it's really about becoming that strong, especially for me, about becoming that strong leader that my family needs. And again, it can apply to your tribe, right? But as long as you work on yourself and you really try and figure out where you're coming up short, that's how you're going to level up. That's how you're going to really become that better version of you. And that's really how you become self-aware. If you're just going through the motions and you know, making sure you pay bills, and then you're going out on Friday and Saturday night and partying and getting shit-faced. And believe me, I was there. I was a guy that would go out five or six nights a week, get blackout drunk, and then have somebody tell me what happened the night before. It was a bad thing.
Yeah.
But because I wanted to get better, I stopped doing all that stuff. And it led to me really, you know, focusing on improving and going down that self-development journey.
Isn't that crazy, though? They're like, the timing of that, where you had that change, you had that mindset shift, the perspective, and to be able to become that anchor, no matter what's going on. That's just like, to me,
the timing was incredible. I mean, nobody ever wants that to happen, right?
Right.
Like, that's a crazy thing for, who knew that you could catch epilepsy at 44 years old when never having it.
Right.
Previous year in life. But like I said, had it been at that time, had it been 8 months earlier or so, I would have been a wreck.
Right.
But again, I think this all comes back to really aligning yourself with your purpose and listening to your conscience, right? Mm-hmm. I believe that God told me I need to work on yourself. You need to get better. You need to step up. You need to be a better man, husband, father. You need to really put some work in. And so by listening to that and putting in the work, I was prepared for that crazy situation. I was prepared for when the shit hit the fan, when, you know, a lot of us, me included, you know, 18, 24 months ago, there's no way that you can prepare for that unless you're actually working on yourself.
Man, that's so important. And I know you hired a mentor before this. You know, what led to that decision of hiring a mentor? And do you feel others should do the same?
I think mentors are extremely important. Coaches, mentors, whatever you want to call them. One, I did it because I wanted to get in shape and I wanted accountability, right? I've been lifting for years. That wasn't a problem. I knew how to work out, but I had zero discipline when it came to food. I had zero accountability. And so by hiring a mentor and a coach, I got that accountability that I needed, and it really pushed me to dial in my discipline. I think having coaches and mentors is paramount for reaching success in really any endeavor that you're going into. Having the accountability, the outside accountability, most of us don't have that. And especially most of us don't have somebody that's going to call it like it is. So when you have a coach that calls you out on your bullshit, one that calls you out and says, hey, you're not doing what you said you're going to do. What's wrong with you? Why are you lying to yourself? That for me, I'm more of like the old school guy where I need that football coach chewing me out, telling me I'm an idiot and can't tell my ass from a hole in the ground kind of thing. And that worked for me. And so I kind of now when I coach my people, I'm very direct. I like to say love ain't lies, right? I'm not going to lie to you because I do love you. Mm-hmm. Too many of us have been coddled from birth to whatever current age you are, me included. My mom like over loved me, I guess you could say, like she provided everything. And it was a very coddled relationship. However, it also led me to being soft and squishy and really undisciplined. So for me, I like to coach what worked for me and really give my experience to my people, my team. And it's, I'm going to call you out. You want me to help you get to that next level, fitness, mindset, whatever it might be. It's because I'm really like a life coach, but I'm not going to coddle you. You have too many of us have people around us that are yes men, and yes men don't ever help you, right? They just validate whatever it is that you want. And for me, that didn't do me any good. And I know for a lot of people that doesn't do any good. So having that one guy that's going to be like, hey, you know, raise your hand. Like you said, you're going to do this. Why aren't you doing it? Or you said you wanted to, for example, you wanted to lose 20 pounds. Why are you still eating the shit food? Why aren't you following the nutrition plan? What's the problem? And I like to tie it back to your responsibility to your family. Are you showing your kids? Are you showing your wife that you care about them by taking care of yourself? Are you giving them proper habits? That because our kids are going to absorb our habits, whether we want them to or not. So we need to be showing them the proper habits, the right way to take care of yourself, the right way to lead your family, the right way to love your wife, the right way to love your kids. If you're not doing that, your kids are going to have a hard time. And a lot of us come from situations where we have childhood trauma. The severity may go from your dad didn't hug you to maybe you know, something significantly worse. But at the end of the day, as adults, it's our job to heal ourselves first and not pass that trauma on to our kids. So we heal ourselves first. We do whatever work that requires. And then we give our family and our kids those positive habits that's going to allow them to succeed in life at a significantly earlier age than we were able to, right? We're going to give them the tools that we already know, having whatever, I'm 40 now, 40 years of life experience. I'm going to give that to my kids. Here you go. So that when they hit 18, 20, 22, they're significantly ahead of their peer group where they're able to dominate and really create the life that they want to live.
Yeah. And that's a perfect segue into, you know, what is Level Up Dad and what was your goal in creating it and who is it for?
So I am the Level Up Dad. That's the tag name I gave myself because for me, it's always about leveling up, right? Getting that 1% better every single day. And so I push people to level up. And the program that I've created is a version of the one that I went through, but it's more tied to being a husband and a father. And really the principles apply to both men and women. Roles and responsibilities apply to both. We just have different roles and different responsibilities, right? Mm-hmm. I speak on my experience because I'm not a woman. I can't tell you what it is to be a woman. I can't raise a girl into a woman. However, I'm a man and I can tell you exactly from my perspective, the changes, the impact, and the roles and responsibilities that I feel belong to a man. I can give you insight onto those and how to do them because I came from that lazy, like I like to call myself, I was a man child, right? I was that selfish, lazy, kind of weak excuse for a man where I wanted to do what I felt like doing instead of really doing what was best for my family. Now it wasn't detrimental, like I said earlier, but it wasn't as good as I should have been or could have been. So I push my guys especially to really go through that same process because since we're all humans, we're 99% the same. And if it worked for me, chances are it's going to work for you too. So I really try and create and help them create the best version of themselves. And we start with the foundational layer, like I said, of nutrition and training and getting up early. Mm-hmm. If you can do those three things, you're going to build a base layer of discipline that's going to be able to be applied to every other aspect of life. And so I really try and help these guys become, you know, leveled up dads, really help them become that ideal individual, that high performing, high value man who leads his family as a servant, right? Servant leaders is what we're trying to create here, because that's one of our main responsibilities as a husband and a dad, is to serve our family. And that's how we should be leading them. It's putting their needs ahead of our own. And right, that ties back into that purpose over pleasure, right? Our purpose is to provide, protect, and preside. And it's not that my feelings don't mean anything. It's just that my family is more important than my feelings. So I'll put my feelings in the backseat all day, every day, so that I can give them the life that I feel they deserve.
And how do you teach someone to ignore their feelings and force themselves to do the hard things?
And that's where discipline comes in, right? So discipline is doing the shit that you know you're supposed to do regardless of how you feel. And so that's why I start with wake up early, follow nutrition, and hit your training. We do that, then we're going to have a baseline of discipline that we can apply to other things. So when you are feeling a certain kind of way, it's not that you ignore your feelings. You can acknowledge them and be like, yeah, I'm pissed off at this, or it sucks at that. But at the end of the day, you still have a job to do. You still have a role or responsibility that needs to be taken care of. And as a man, that's what you got to do. You don't have another option. And if you're married and you're not taking care of your shit and you're not pulling your weight, who's going to have to do that? Your wife is. And mm-hmm. I don't know that any real man who is worth his weight would want to put his job off onto his wife, because they do so much that we can't do. And for us to offload some of our work to them, I think it's a bitch way out. Like, for lack of a better term, you're being a pussy, yeah, and you need to man up and handle your shit, because okay, that's what you're supposed to do, right? Yeah. Like, as a man, there's stuff that we have to do regardless of how we feel. And too many of us, me included, prior to this transformation I've gone through, too many of us avoid it because it makes us feel a certain kind of way. And that's a big problem. And that's, I think, a big problem or a big cause for why our country and the world overall is in the situation that it's in. And if we had more men stepping up to the challenge, stepping up to the plate and handling their business, more families would remain together. You'd have healthier kids, healthier relationships, and a more prosperous society.
Mm-hmm. That's so good, man. So can you give us a glimpse of what your morning routine looks like?
Sure.
And then how do you stay consistent?
Again, that's a discipline to stay consistent, right? It's for me. So let's start with the routine. I get up at 3:30 every morning, come downstairs, do 25 to 50 push-ups. Then I go from there and I do my gratitude journal. So I'll write three things that I'm grateful for every single morning. And then from there, I get my pre-workout in and then I hit the weights. I have a garage gym that I work out in every day. And that's the main routine, right? So I do all that by 6:30 because my kids get up around 6:30 to 7 o'clock. So I believe that we should not be taking away from our roles and responsibilities to our family or to our business when we're working on our self-development or personal development. So that's why I get up so early, because it gives me 3 hours to get everything I need to do for myself done in that time frame. Now, in terms of the consistency, that's the discipline. And for me, that morning routine makes me the best I can be. It gets my mindset on point. I don't know about you, but after any workout I've ever done, you're in that flow state, right? You're feeling good. Your endorphins are firing. People call it the runner's mm-hmm. high, same kind of thing. But that allows you to operate at your highest potential. And so my family and my people and my clients and everybody that I interact with, I believe that they deserve me at my highest potential every single day. And if I skip any part of my routine, if I skip my training, especially if I skip my training, I'm not in the right frame of mind. I'm not that highest and best version of me. So because of that and the direct impact it has on, especially my youngest who's six, I don't miss. I don't allow myself to miss. And there's times where I don't want to get up, but at the end of the day, I do it anyway because of my process is it's paramount for me to be the best I can be. And because of that, I just won't miss. I choose not to miss. Yeah. And really, like, when you start going through it, you build that momentum. And now it's not really a thing for me anymore. It's just what I do. I don't have to think about it. I get up. It's kind of, you're going through the motions because you program yourself to operate in a certain kind of way. And for me, you feel good. You feel right. Your energy is in the right place. Your mindset's fired up, ready to go. Your kids feel that. They pull from your energy, your wife, your spouse. They feel that vibe, and it's really, you see the direct impact of you being disciplined and you following your routine. You see that direct impact on your family. And for me, that's what it's all about.
Man, that's so good. Getting me hyped up just, you know, hearing you.
That's what it's, I mean, energy is crucial, right? And it's contagious. Everybody can feel it. Like when you walk into a room and there's tension, you can feel that awkwardness, or when it's full of energy, you go into this room that people are all fired up, you pull from that energy. And so if I can be that source as a leader of the family, I am the source of energy, regardless if it's positive or negative. I choose to make it positive. Everybody can make that choice. And at the end of the day, that's my purpose, right? Back to the purpose over pleasure. I sacrifice my sleep, my comfort, because one, my energy goes through the roof when I hit my process. And then two, I bring that energy back to my family as fired up, excited, happy, full of love, ready to give and serve. And the biggest thing is, like I said, it's my 6-year-old son. He is so connected to my process indirectly because of the energy I bring back. And you see it in him. He wakes up, he's all stoked. And it's because I'm there like, what's up, dude? You know, like fired up in the morning. He's like, yeah, let's go. And so it has a direct, you can see the impact it has. And when I miss it, or if I'm late and I'm not done working out and they're up, it slows that process of them feeling good and getting going into the day. So it really ties back.
And I'm sure that energizes you back too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We vibe, right? And it's that vibe you're feeding off of energy, and they're giving it back to you because they're kids and they're always full of that kind of positivity. And so you're just bouncing off each other, and it really creates a huge source of positivity, a huge source of love, and everything good that we want to feel simply because I got up and I executed a process without missing. And so when you kind of reframe it in your head, like by doing this stuff and sacrificing these certain things, look at what I get. And so that sacrifice becomes, it's simple, right? It's like a penny. Okay, cool. Here's a penny for that all day. Yeah, let's go. Like I'll give you 10 pennies every day to do that. So it's really a vibe kind of thing that you create in the home, and there's nothing better.
And I want to get practical for a second. If we can, I know you're an excellent life coach. And so how can someone, you know, what's a practical way for someone to lose fat and add some lean muscle?
So the best way is to dial in your diet. And by diet, I mean dial in what you're eating. I initially went through the macro approach, right? Weighing everything, tracking everything, your protein, your fat, your carbs, making sure I had X amount of this, Y amount of that. And that is a good way to get a temporary result, right? I got super lean. I was down to like 7.1% body fat, but I dropped down to 188 pounds. And for me, that wasn't a sustainable way of living, right? I didn't want to eat. I was only eating protein at the end of my time with macros. I was eating 300 grams of protein a day and trace carbs through vegetables. And yeah, I looked good, but it wasn't sustainable. And I have a family and I missed out on birthday celebrations and that kind of stuff. So I've switched. I've spent the last almost 10 months now with a longer form fasting and one meal a day approach. And I'm still recomping. So I gained, so that first month after I switched from macros to real life kind of eating again, I went from 7.1 to 10.4% body fat in 30 days. So the swing or the bounce back was ridiculous. And I'm like, okay, I got to find a new way so that I can maintain and not have these crazy swings. Like I'm sure a lot of people experience, right, with yo-yo dieting and that kind of stuff. So I discovered this approach through another coach that I know, and I was able to add muscle and drop fat at the same time. I got back down to 7.4% body fat while I up my sustainability, my joy with the food. I can eat what I want. I'm gaining muscle. Now I'm up around 205 pounds and I'm between 7 and 8% body fat. So I've gained almost 20 pounds back. And I have enjoyability. I have sustainability. Like this is a lifelong approach. It's not a temporary, you know, band-aid for your little owie that you have here. This is a lifelong approach where you're going to have permanent fat loss. You're going to lead to permanent muscle gain. And really when you're looking at gaining muscle, the main factor of that's going to be your training. You have to make sure that you're training with enough intensity. You're pushing yourself hard enough into that pain, into that dark area to cause the body to respond to that stimulus and add muscle. And if you're not training like that, depending on where you're at in your training journey, your workout journey, you're going to plateau and you're going to get stuck. And that's where I was for the longest time. I was stuck at 215, and I think I was around 18% body fat when I started. And I mean, I just broke a 3-day fast on Wednesday. I ate, what did I have? I had 2 pounds of ground beef. I had 1 pound of fruit. So I start every feast with a big ass bowl of fruit. So I started with that pound of fruit. Then I had 2 pounds of ground beef in sloppy joes and 1 pound of homemade fries. So I eat good food. I'm a taco addict. I love tacos, fish tacos, beef tacos, any kind of taco, really. I eat tacos multiple times.
You're a Taco Tuesday.
Yeah, Taco Tuesday, Taco Wednesday, Thursday and Friday. You know, like I love tacos. I come from San Diego. So it's a kind of a normal thing there. But the flexibility and sustainability, again, with the freedom, right? Like I'm not like, oh, you can only eat these little things. You can eat a wide variety of stuff with this approach that we take now. And you have, and that's what makes it sustainable, right? Like there's joy. I enjoy the meals. It's not like, oh God, I got to eat this 99% fat-free turkey every freaking meal here for the rest of my life. It's, oh, I'm going to have steak tonight. I'm going to have some steak and potatoes. So we focus on eating whole ingredients from the earth, grew out of it, flew over it, swam in it, or ran on it. If it fits that, you can eat as much of it as you want. And because of that kind of food, it's very hard for you to overeat. And it's hard for you to add that fat, because with the one meal a day approach, it's essentially a 24-hour fast multiple times a week, right? So for this last week, I went from Sunday to Wednesday, was my 72-hour fast. And now I had dinner Wednesday, I had dinner yesterday, I'll have it again today, Saturday and Sunday. So for most people, you're really only pulling out one meal. A lot of people skip breakfast and have lunch and dinner. So if you're able to pull that lunch out, which we have some tips and some tools to help you sustain your energy levels and avoid the feeling queasy and all that kind of stuff, but you're really going to optimize your hormones. You're going to accelerate fat loss. You're going to improve because of the hormone optimization. You're going to allow the body to add muscle in a much more, not necessarily easier way, but kind of an easier way, because you spike growth hormone. And then when you do eat, you're going to spike your insulin, and insulin's going to drive that nutrition to where the body needs it most. And that's where the training, that intense training comes in. If you're training hard, and then when you do eat, chances are the vast majority of that nutrition is going to get driven to your muscles, which is how you're able to build muscle even through a fasting cycle and a one meal a day approach. So I know that was a lot. Let me know.
That was a lot. I'm excited to go back and re-listen to it, because it's very important. And I really want people to, as we wrap up here, I want people to find, you know, where can they find you? Where can they get connected with you? What kind of programs do you have?
Sure.
You know, what does it cost for someone that maybe is on a budget? And then final takeaways, what would you want someone to take away from today's conversation? You know,
sure.
Maybe we didn't get to it, sure. Or maybe I didn't get to ask you about it. But, you know.
Yeah. So let's start with the takeaway, so I don't forget that one. Final takeaway is listen to your conscience. Really listen to your conscience and push yourself to be better. Create that best version of you. And as long as you don't give up, like I said earlier, you will get to that person, and you're never going to create the perfect individual. So don't get upset that you haven't reached like this full God level kind of individual, because we're not Jesus, right? We're not God, but you can work to be as close to him and as close to that ideal individual that you have every single day. And by doing that, you're going to create a high level, high value person, man or woman. Now contacting me and following me, I'm on Instagram. That's where I post every single day, multiple times a day. I show everything from my morning process to my daily interactions, everything that I do on the day, I document. And then on the main page, I post more of the kind of theory and the mindset and different training and different meals. I post everything out there to try and provide as much value for people that can take from that and apply it to their life. So I try and give you as much as I can through there. My Instagram handle is @TheLevelUpDad. So pretty simple there, pretty straightforward. So hop on there, give me a follow. I answer questions. You can shoot me a DM. I'm an open book. I try and provide as much value, like I said. And if you are ready to take that next step and really challenge yourself and have the accountability along with the blueprint to create the best version of you, you can shoot me a DM and we'll go through the different program options we have. I have everything from a 3-month group program. I offer both group and one-on-one programs, and that refers to the weekly check-in or the weekly call. But I brought on a financing partner to help with financing the cost for some people that, that can't afford it up front. And I'm seeing people get in as low as $62 a month. So it's very affordable for the value that you get. I mean, to in order to create that higher level value of you, $62 a month, that's roughly $2 a day. Don't go to Starbucks. Stop eating out so much.
Yeah.
Stop buying all that shit food that's so expensive. Dial in on that and you'll find $62. And for those that are, they do have a girlfriend, that do have a wife, that do have kids, it seems pretty straightforward and simple that your family is definitely worth $62 a month to make you better so that you can provide them that kind of life that you and I both know they deserve. So there's ways to make it happen. And definitely I am there every single step of the way. I take a lot of times it seems like I want it more than my clients do. I just because I've seen the end impact on my family, I push for their success. And I try and give as much value as I can to help them create that best version of them.
That's so good. Thank you so much, you know, Patrick, for all your wisdom and your help here. I'll be sure to, you know, send a prayer for you and your family there.
Thank you.
Everything going on. And, you know, I appreciate you for being on the podcast today.
Hey, thank you for having me, man. I love doing this. I love trying to help people and put this message out there because we all can create the best version of us. I'm not anything special. I'm not some weird Neo kind of anomaly type of guy. I'm a regular guy that had a drinking problem, that was selfish, that really just made a decision that enough's enough. I need to be better for my family, and then executed. And everybody can do it, especially with the help of a coach and somebody holding you accountable. Because a lot of us will lie to the ones that we love, but I can tell, and coaches can tell, when you're actually full of it, or you're actually doing the work. So everybody can do this, and they all should.